Beginning of Parshas Pinchas, we have above Ketia, hidden in the Yosin Lazbri Si Shalom, is above Ketia. They told me that over here in the shul, 30 years ago, in Beis Medrash HaGadol, the rabbi wasn't there on Shabbos afternoon, Parshas Bolak to Mincha, so they took out a Sefer Torah. They saw that the bulb was cracked. So they put it back, they took out a different Sefer Torah. So this Sefer Torah, also the bubble scrap, took out a third Sefer Torah. They didn't know how to deal with it. That's the halacha. The bubble is supposed to be cracked in the middle. It's supposed to be above Ketiyah. So the Gemara darshans, why is it above Ketiyah? The Torah Shabbat Pet darshan, only Sholem. If he's a Balmum, the avoid is Mechulel Asim B'dievet. If a person is a Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza, so Avodasa, a Ksheira B'dievet, the Gemara learns it out from the pasuk Baruch Hashem Chelo. Afilu Chalolim Shabo, Chalol Shavad B'diavad Avodasik Shere. Tosfos says only a Chalol She'ini Yodua. The Rambam has a Chiddush even a Chalol Yodua, even if he knew in advance that he's a Chalol, and he did the Avod B'diavad Avodasik Shere. Tosfos learns the Gemara. Pasuk Pshat the Gemara is not like the Rambam. Pasuk Pshat is like Tosfos. Chalol She'ini Yodua, but a Balmum even B'diavad Avodasik Psulim, because we darshan on the pasuk. A brisi shalem is only when he is shalem. Rashi quotes a medrash on the opening pasuk. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen. We know who he is. Why is it miyachasim after his grandfather? Because he had another grandfather who was mefatem agolam l'avodah zarah, who was a galach. So the Shvatim, his Chilu Shvatim Mevazim also, they were making fun of him. Who does this guy think that he is? His grandfather's an Abed Abedazar, and he goes and he kills Nasim Yisrael. So the Torah is Miyachasim after the other grandfather, after Aaron HaKohen, so there shouldn't be Mevazim. So they quote in the name of Rab David Soloveitchik, what does it have to do with who the grandfather is? Was he, did he do the right thing or did he do the wrong thing? By killing the, what's his name, Zimri Ben Solom. If the such halacha Moshe Messina Kanaim Abuel Aramis Befer Hesik Kanaim Pogimbo, so he did the right thing. So what's the difference who the grandfather was? And if he's not a Kanoi, so what? Even if his grandfather is Aaron HaKohen, he did Shaloi Kedin. What does it have to do who the grandfather is? So they quote in the name of Rab David Soloveitchik that this idea of Kanoim Pogimbo Tak is only if he's really Kanoi. It's a little bit like Aver Lishma, something along the lines like Aver Lishma. There's a Gemara in Nazir and Av Chav Gimel that Aver Lishma is permissible sometimes. Aver Lishma is permissible if you're going to accomplish something wonderful with it. Hatei B'shul Shetiske. When we were learning the Pirkei Avos, so we discussed it. Having Machashiv Hefsin Mitzvah Keneged Tzchor, or Aver Keneged Hefseda. So some of the Mefarshim and the Mishnah learn that what it means is that sometimes you should do the Aver, Hatei B'shul Shetiske, and sometimes you should not do the Mitzvah. Have said mitzvah connect, so sometimes you not do the mitzvah. That's an aver lishma. So whatever you do an aver lishma has to be 100% lishma. If you have a little if you gain a little personal advantage out of it, that's not called lishma. So that's what it means over here. It's a good pshat. That's what it means over here. The din is only kanoi in Pogimov. The feld is not a kanoi. He's not doing l'shem shamayim. He's not doing fully l'shem shamayim. Then it's ritzicha that he has no right to kill him. So he's chidu shvatim evazim also. Who does this guy think that he is? He's a grandson of an Abed Abed Azara. So Mistame, he's used to killing people. He's not doing it L'Shem Shamayim. So the Meyaches Pinchas after his other grandfather, after Aaron HaKohen, who was Oyev Shalom V'Roidev Shalom, to indicate that he was really a Kanoi, and he really did it L'Shem Shamayim. So he did it L'Shem Shamayim, then it was Mutter. Whether he does L'Shem Shamayim or not will determine whether it's a proper act or an improper act. That's a good pshat. That's a good pshat in that medrash that Rashi quotes. The parsha proceeds to give a whole census again of Bnei Yisrael. They had to take a census because we're discussing Chalukah Sa'aretz, and the din is L'Rab Tarv Nachlosa V'Lamat Tamit Nachlosa. The Chalukim in Eretz are depend on how many members there are in the Shevet. So they had to take a census to see how many people there are to Yarshi. Rashi quotes from the Gemara, Al pi hagara techalek nachlaso, al pi, that there was a miracle here. that the girl would speak. And they pulled out the, they drew lots, and then they pulled out a piece of wood or a piece of paper, whatever it was, and it says which shavit gets what. It says it on the paper. But then the girl would speak. That was a miracle. So Rav Chaim Soloveitchik in the Seif on the Rambam quotes a sheet of Mekubetzes and Baba Basra, the Balabatim who learned Daf Yomi never read sheet of Mekubetzes. The Sheba guys never learned that perek in Baba Basra. It's a boring perek. Perek Beis Kur. No yeshiva learns Perek Beis Kur. So Rav Chaim read it in Balozhin. They learned Daf al Daf. They learned every day. They learned straight. One daf, next daf, next daf. They learned from Brachas to Nida, then they went back again, Brachas to Nida. Rav Chaim quotes a Shita Mekubetzes in Perek Beis Kur that this miracle of Chalukah al pi ha-girl, the Shohei ha-girl medaber, was only the Chalukah l'shvotim, the Chalukah l'mishpochas, and the Chalukah yechidim. That was just plain old Chalukah's moment. There were no miracles involved in that. But Chalukah l'shvotim, that was something like Issa v'heter. That was a p'china of Issa v'heter, because the Kedusha Sa'aretz is only completed after Kibush v'chiluk. The Chalukah Sa'aretz is the Gemara of the Kibush. So that's what Prime explains. The Chalukah l'shvotim was the Gemara of the Kibush. The Chalukah l'mishpochas, the Chalukah l'yechidim, that's plain all the imams. But Chalukah l'shvotim, that was an inyan of Issa v'heter. So that there was a miracle that the girl was medaber. There is a big topic that the Rishonim raised, Taisus and all the other Rishonim raised the issue. There are klolim that the Rambam calls Mishpatei HaTinoim. If a person gives a get alatanai, he does Kiddushin alatanai, he buys a karka alatanai. So whenever you make a tanai, you have to formulate the tanai properly. So the Rambam quotes the dinim that you have four Mishpatei HaTinoim. You have to have tanai kofel, hein kodem lav, tanai kodem lemaisa, and tanai shev shalakaim. Fine. So the question is, what do you need all the rules and regulations for? Whenever a person makes a tanai, why does he need so much? He didn't want to marry the girl unless the girl's father arranges tomorrow, unless the girl's father gives him $1 million by the end of the Shivas Yemei Hamishta. So why shouldn't every tanai be binding because of the din of tois? The din whenever you need das, and there was some mistake. There was a tois. A tois is mevatla das. What do you need all the mishpatei atroim for? So Tosfos works on the Akasha. Tosfos and the Rambam and the Ravid gives a teretz. The Ravid says that in Dini Mominis, it belongs to me. So any crazy Tanai, I'm crazy. Any crazy Tanai that I insist on is binding me din Tos. But in Issa the Heter, it's not mine. And Mikadosh Anisha, Mikadosh Anisha, that's a religious issue. I'm not a balabas. If I own the house, I own my jacket, and I want to sell it to Tanai. So any crazy Tanai that I make is binding me din tois. So there's taka no need for mishpatei atanoim and dini mominus, according to the Ravid. Masha'enikein, and Issa the Heter, Kiddushin and Gerishin, all these things are religious issues. So the Torah only gives me the right to make a Kiddushin la Tanai if I formulate it in such a way. So then, but the Rambam refers to this opinion and he makes fun of it. The Rambam says there was an opinion in the days of the Gaonim that Mishpatei HaTorayim are not needed in Didi Mominus. And the Rambam makes fun of it. The whole mokar to learn out all of Mishpatei HaTorayim is by Tanai B'nei Godim Nei Reuven, when they were dividing Eretz Yisrael, when they made the Chalukas HaAretz, and they said, Im Yavru and Satim, Lo Yavru Menachasu B'Sochechem. So Chalukas HaAretz Yisrael is Didi Mominus. So the original mokar for all of Mishpatei HaTorayim is Didi Mominus. So the Ravid writes, it's not correct. Chalukas HaAretz is Issa v'Heter. It's not Didi Mominus. So that's where Rav Chaim Soloveitchik explained. Issa v'Heter is really, according to that sheet of Mekubetzes, Issa v'Heter element was really only on the Chalukah l'Shvatim. That was Alpi HaGoro. But the Chalukah l'Yichidim, the Chalukah l'Mishpachas, that's probably plain old Didi Mominus. Then after the Torah writes the Dinim of Chalukas HaAretz, you have the story of the Benoit Slavchot. They heard that Moshe Rabbeinu is giving a public address on Chalukas HaAretz and all the dinim of Yerusha. So they came and they piped up. They wanted to get Yerusha. Their father died and he only left daughters. He left no sons. They wanted to get the Yerusha. So the simple pshat in the parsha seems to be that the question was, do only sons get Yerusha? If there are no sons, do the daughters get Yerusha? Or you just ignore the daughters? That's a simple pshat. The Gemara in Perek Yesh Nerchman quotes one Tana who was a Talmud of Sumchis, I think, a Talmud of Sumchis, who had a different pshat. Sumchis was the Talmud of Rav Meir. So the Gemara in Yesh Nerchman has another pshat based on the fact that when Moshe Rabbeinu gives them the psak, he tells in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Noson titen lahem achuzas machalo besoch achei abihem. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu say a double loshon, Noson titen? So the Tana says, the B'nai Salavchad knew the din. The din was Yodua already. Everybody knew the din. That if there are sons and daughters, the sons get, the daughters don't get. If there are no sons, the daughters get. That they knew. Their Shaila was a totally different Shaila. Their father, Salavchad ben Chayfer, was a Bechor. And the Bechor is not told Pishnai. He gets two portions. But he only gets double portion, B'muchzok velo b'ra'ui. That's based on the pasuk in Kisaitse. It says, "As apcha ben asno yakel laslo pishlam b'chol asher imotzi lo b'muchzak v'lo b'ra'ui." So the question was, what did Chayfer have? So Lotcha was apcha to Chayfer. What did Chayfer possess? So he had a sukkah, Mistoma. They all had sukkahs in the midbar. He had bizus mitzrayim, had bizus hayam. And Erev Pesach, he knocked on the next door neighbor's door. He probably got some gold and silver, okay, some clothing, the smallos, okay. And then Bezos Hayam, after all the bodies of the midstream washed up on the dry land, so he got Bezos Hayam. So that's Muchzuk. So the poor is entitled to Pishnai. But the Shiloh was the big real estate, Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Avraham Avinu, Kum Hisalat Boros La'orka L'roch B'kilucho Etinenu. So that was the Shaila. Kidcho Tinena was a promise that's going to be fulfilled in the distant future, and Yeshua ben Nun will conquer the land, then it will be fulfilled, Kidcho Tinena. But right now, when Yeshua ben Nun crosses over, when they're dividing the land, when they're dividing before they conquer it, in the middle of the Midbar, before they conquer, in the Midbar, when Chayfa died, Slavcha ben Chayfa was the Pchor, it was only a promise, and Chayfer didn't possess that real estate yet. Or should we learn pshat, kum misalch baras galach ralach ba kilchua tenena, the walking along the borders constituted the kinyan chazaka, and it was already muchzok. That was the suffix that the Bnei Salavchad raised. Not a suffix where the daughters get what they're on their sons. That, the Tana says, they knew. The question they didn't know was, and they also knew that a poor gets pishnayim. And they knew that Dinis Choron gets Pishnayim b'muchzak v'lo b'roy. The question they were asking was whether it's on muchzakas he may have a seinu m'mois Avram Avinu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram Avinu ki l'cho etinenu, that means that you're kind of right now, so it's all is muchzak. Avram Avinu died and went b'irusha to Yitzchak, Yitzchak dies, goes b'irusha to Yankiv, and so it's muchzak. Or should we say no, ki l'cho etinenu is a promise in the distant future. So they asked Moshe Rabbeinu, what's the deal? So Moshe Rabbeinu had delivered a nevuah in the beginning of Shmos Ve'era, beginning of Ve'era, he delivers a nevuah of an asati. Vodseis vitzalte v'galte v'lakachti ve'vesi eschmal horses shenishbati la'vesein alasuslam v'nasati osalechem morosha ani Hashem. So Moshe Rabbeinu said morosha. So what does the word morosha mean? So Moshe Rabbeinu starts to think back and says, I'm not sure myself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me word for word what to say Morosha. I'm not sure whether Morosha means Yerusha. Eretz Yisrael already belonged to Avraham Avinu when he walked around the borders. That was the Kinyan Chazaka, and the Bnei Yisrael gathered as Yerusha. Why does it say Morosha? It means it's a different kind of a Yerusha. If my rich uncle dies and I become very wealthy, so I can do whatever I want with the money. I can stand on the corner and give out dollar bills to everybody. I can burn the money, I can invest it, I can put it in the bank, I can do whatever I want. A Morosha means a heritage, a Yerusha that you have to transmit to the next generation, and they have the obligation to transmit it to the next generation also. Eretz Yisrael and the Torah are the only two things that are referred to in the Chumash as Morosha. So maybe what it means is, it's taka Yerusha himi avisen m'mois Avram Avinu, but it's a heritage that you have to transmit. Eretz Yisrael is not for sale. You can't give it away. Even if the government wants to, they're not allowed to give it away to any other nation. Or maybe Morosha means that it's a promise that wasn't yet fulfilled. Maybe it doesn't mean Yerusha. Maybe what was told to Avraham Avinu, Kiluchwa Etenena, was the promise going to be fulfilled in the distant future when Yeshua ben Nun conquers the man? So Moshe Rabbeinu says, thinking back, I'm not sure what that word meant. When I said the Nevuah, word for word, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to say, Marasha, he's not sure what it meant, Yerusha, therefore the Bechor should get Pishnaim. Tzolofchad was a Bechor to his father Hefer, so he is entitled to Pishnaim, not only in the Bezos Hayam and the Bezos Mitzrayim, what he had, Tachas Yodar Mamish, even in the Chelek and Eretz Yisrael. Or maybe Morasha means they're going to get it, but they didn't get it yet. So that was the answer was given. Nason titen lahem a kefaloshen. That's what the Rechaim points out on Chumash. Where did that Tana get this wild idea that the Sufik was about Pishnai? The simple reading of the Pasuk is the Sufik was where the women get Yerusha. The women are not entitled to Yerusha. So he said, Arachaim says they got it. The Tana got this idea from the kefaloshen. Nason titen lahem achuzas nachalah. Kefaloshim means that they get Pishnai. So that was the answer. That Erzom Mechzakasim Yavasenu Mois Avram Avinu. When Avram Avinu walked around the border, he was coming with the Kinya Chazok. So the Gemara in Bava Basra, maybe it's talking Perik Beiskur. I think it's talking that Perik. The Gemara there has a Machloike Satanaim. Is that form of Kinya Chazok that can walk around the borders? Kum Isal Baros Laorka Larochpo. That constitutes Kinya Chazok. Is that now how Yerua Shor that only worked once in the history of the world? Kadosh Baruch Hu told Avram Avinu, walk around the borders and you will acquire ownership of all of Eretz Yisrael. Or does it even apply Bizman Hazeh? I want to sell you a farm. And I tell you, walk around the borders and you'll acquire ownership. So that's a machlokes hatanoim, machlokes hablezer nechacham. But they both assumed that in the days of Avram Avinu, when he walked around the border, he was kind of Eretz Yisrael. At that time, it was a Kinya Chazok. Was it a Hayra Shoah once in the history of the world, or is it a Din Lederus? But that is the Pshat. When Sati Osa Marosha means that it was a Yerusha. Was a Yerusha. When Moshe Rabbeinu says over all the dinim of Yerusha, in order to say the din for the Bnei Salafchad, and so on. So you have the pasuk. You give it to the children. You give it to the uncles, to the cousins. No uncles. So that's what the Gemara has a drasha that the word "lusher" refers to. Sher is a wishto. If Sher is a wishtoi, then it says when a man dies, his nachla goes to his wife. So the Gemara says, "No garda masifim v'darshim." You read the pasuk as if it's written on a satem is nachla so li she'ero. So you read it as if it were written satem is nachla she'ero lo. You take off the vav from nachla so, you take off the lamed from li she'ero, and you make a word out of that. And the satem is nachla she'ero lo. That's an asmachta, that's a balaturim, that's an asmachta midirabonon, habal yorish. So it says the opposite. When the wife dies, the husband yarshins. So that's a big machlokes hatanoim, whether this comment, a funny comment, it's not in the list of the Yugam Midrash HaTorah and Dreshes Pem, that Rabbi Shmuel says, Gorin Masifim Vedorshim, you take away the letter vav from the word nachlo, so you take off the lamed from the shera, and you put it together, and make a word lo, satam as nachlo shera lo. So the Raman Paskins like the Tana who thinks that Habal Yerushas Ishtoi is only Midirabbanan. And the Raibit Paskin like the other Tana, no, it's a real Droshe Gmur Deraisa. Habal Yerushas Ishtoi is a real Din Deraisa. Tosis, there's a Mishnah in Bava Basra where the Mishnah says that Habal Yerushas Ishtoi is a weaker Din. It's not exactly the same. And Afkamin Ladina that the husband is not considered Muchsuk. Let's say when a person dies and the Yerushim get the Yerusha, the regular Yorshim, the blood relatives, not the husband. The husband is only related by marriage. So the real blood relatives get the Yerusha, so the Yorish is already considered Muchsok even before he gets the Nechas. Once the Morish dies, so he's considered Muchsok on the Nechas, just like the Morish was Muchsok, so the Yorish is not considered Muchsok. And the husband is not considered Muchsok. So Tyson says, why is that? Why is Habal Yerusha Sishta different from other Yerushas? That Habal Yerusha Sishta, the husband, is not considered a muchzik if there's a suffix. The Taisa says either the Mishnah goes with the assumption that Habal Yerusha Sishta is only the Rabbana, but even if you hold that it's a din, the Raisa, it's a different din, because he's not a blood relative to his wife. You only get Yerusha if you're Mimishpachta, only Mishpacha Savkri, Mishpacha. Mishpacha say meina kuri mishpacha. So mishpacha say means a blood relative related through the father. The husband and the wife are not blood relatives at all. So it's a different din Yerusha. It's a baal kom tachas ishtay. It's a different din. The Gemara has that lashon. There are dinim of Yerusha and then there are dinim of a ben kom tachas aviv. Liyad do, but it's the achuza. It's not the same as Yerusha. So what is the nature of the din? So the Gemara seems to say that it's a schus. It's a schus mamin. The husband has schus a mamin on the wife's property, on the property that she has while they're married, that if and when she predeceases him, then he gets the Yerusha. Let's say, while my father was alive, I didn't have schusim on his property, that I have the right. My father owns his property. My father passed away, so I get the Yerusha. While the Morish is alive, while the rich uncle is alive, the Yerusha doesn't have any schusim at all. After he dies, then it goes be Yerusha. Even if you hold that it's a din deraisa, whether it's deraisa or the rabbanan, does make a difference. It's a different din. It's a din that the Baal has schusim and nichse yishtoi, that likashetamos, if she predeceases him, so he takes the nechosim. So therefore the Mishnah says, since it's a schus mamin, it lends itself to mechila. Whenever you have a schus, let's say somebody owes me money, so I have a right to be moichel. If I own, let's say I own my jacket, so I'll say I moichel the jacket to you. So the Rishonim, a lot of Rishonim say there's no mechila on a bia. Mechila is only chal on a schus. So the Gemara makes a distinction. The Gemara says Habal Yerusha Sishta only occurs after Nisuin. If they only had Erisin today, the difference between Erisin and Nisuin is only 2 minutes. The Chassan gives the ring, says Haret Mekudeshesli, there's Erisin, and then you read the Ksuvah, and then you say the Brichas Nisuin. It's dating under the canopy. So 3 minutes later, so it's already the Nisuin. It's already the Nisuin. But in the days of the Tanakh, in the days of the Gemara, till the days of the Gaonim were the ones who did away with that, that you wait a year in between Erisin and Nisuin, because they saw that the girl is an Eishes Ish, and she's living in a parent's home, she's not living with her husband. So sometimes she'll be Mazana, so it's no good. She'll become Asur al Baila. She'll become Asoit Asur al Baila. So they moved up to Nisuan right after the Erisnitz. We don't have too much of a pause. But in the earlier generations, when there was a pause of a year between Erisin and Nisuan, so the din was that Abal, any Yerushes Ish, they're doing Erisin only after Nisuan. So the Gemara says, if the couple already had Nisuin, and then the husband says, I'm Moichel this Chus Yerusha that I have, that's considered Mechila Nabiyan. It can't be Moichel Nabiyan. Even though she's still alive, and he doesn't own the property yet, but since that was the nature of the Takana de Rabbanan, even if he hold it, was the Raisa de Rabbanan, once they already have Nisuin, it's considered as if he owns the Biyan. Even though she owns it, it's considered ownership on a Biyan, and there's no mechila on Biyan. And then the Gemara says, and what if they're engaged, and the husband will be moichel the schus Yerusha before they get married? So the Gemara says, that's mechila on a davish labol yolam. They're only engaged. There's nothing there. So the Gemara says, the only time the husband can be moichel the schus Yerusha is during Erisin. So that's an issue today. Let's say a couple are getting married for the second time. So the husband and the wife, they were previously married, they have children from the first marriage. Now they're in their 70s, whatever, 80s, 90s, and they want a little companionship, so they want to get married. But the wife has money from her previous life. She doesn't want it. Let's say she's going to die before the husband, she doesn't want the Yerusha that she has to go to the husband. She wants it to go to her children from the first husband. She's living with she'll be living with the second husband. She's already 85 years old. So she doesn't want to give the Yerusha to the husband. So the din is that the husband can be moichel the schus Yerusha in between Erisin and Nisuin. So that's what those who know, they want to do that. You can't make a prenuptial agreement before they even did Erisin. The Gemara said, that's a mechila on a davar shel bal yodim. But you write on a piece of paper, he put it in an envelope, and then under the chuppah, after the chassan says, he tells the his kala, his 85-year-old kala, he's 95, she's 85, okay. So he tells his 85-year-old kala, he's going to give her an envelope that has a mechila. He's going to be moichel d'schus yerusha. So after he says, he gives her the envelope right away. So before, and they don't want to be kind of nisuin until after they read the ksub until after they say the Sheva Bracha. So that's considered during Erisin. So the husband is moichel d'schus yerusha during Erisin. That's a practice that people have today. If I'm not mistaken, the Rabbanut has such a special nusach printed out. There's a funny din. It's a Gemara in Pcheres. There's a din that Habal Yerush Eshtishta is only b'muchzuk and not b'ro'ui. Just like the Pchor only gets b'shnaim. Pchor gets b'shnaim only b'muchzuk v'lo b'ro'ui. That's based on the Pesukim. It's a Pchor ben Asnuei Yakeh lo s'lo b'sham b'chol o'she yimotzi lo b'muchzuk v'lo b'ro'ui. Only what the assets that the father had at the time that he died. Whatever assets the father didn't have at the time that he died. Let's say the father bought a sweepstakes ticket and the drawing is after he died. So the father is Zeche in the Irish sweepstakes after he dies, so the Pchor doesn't get Pishnai. Pchor divides it equally with everybody else. So the same is true regarding Habal Yerush Eshishta. Whatever moment the wife has at the time that she dies, so that's Habal Yerush Eshishta. But let's say the wife dies and after she dies, then her rich father dies and she's a Bas Yechida. She's the only one who gets the Yerusha. So you don't say that she yarshins bekever her father and her husband gets the whole Yerusha. No, once she's not alive, so they're not married anymore. So then the husband has no right to get the Yerusha. There comes lachamisa sishta. If it wouldn't have been any other relative other than the wife, you say that's called mishmush nachla. You visualize it as if that person is who died, as if he's still alive, and he gets the Yerusha, and then if he would die later, it'd go to his relatives. So that's called Mishmush Nachla, it goes to that relative. Except for that Habal Yerush Eshishtai is a din that he has a schus and the nechasim that she has during the marriage. But if she gets the nechasim lachamisa, then the Baal doesn't get the Yerusha on that. There's a famous Shitas Rimigash. The Rimigash has a different girsa in the Gemara in Baba Kama. So he says like this, we absolutely don't paskin like the Rimigash. But it's important to know. It comes up halacha l'maisa. I remember I was once by Rabbeinu Shvinkel. The first time I visited Eretz Yisrael was over 50 years ago. So there was a din Torah in the Israeli Botadinim about this. So he asked me, what do I say? So I said, there's nothing to pilpal about. The din Torah was that Rabbi Unterman was at that time the chief rabbi, and he had lost his wife. So he was an old man already. He was an old man, must have been in his 60s, 70s. So he remarried. He married the almana of Rabbi Shlomo Hyman. Shlomo Hyman used to be the Rosh Yeshiva in Torah V'das. So, and apparently she didn't have any children from her first husband. So she had a big Yerusha. She had a lot of money. So the Shaila was, and all the money was in bank accounts. All the money was in not in a safe deposit, but wasn't sitting there. It was in a savings account. So the Shaila was, whether Habal Yerush Eshishtai on the money in a savings account. But in the savings account is a halva. If you have money in a safe deposit vault, so it's like putting money in your mattress. The money is sitting there. So that's bien. That's muhsuk. You said they're sitting on the money, and the shaman in the bank is watching the money for me. But if you have money in a savings account, it's a halvoy. You're lending money to the bank. They're going to spend it. They're going to make 10% interest, and they're going to give you 5% interest, 2% interest, whatever, 1% interest, whatever they give you on the savings account. So that should be a halvoy. So there's a machlekes hatanaim in Yesh Nechlem regarding hapchor, noitel pishnaim. Pchori only gets pishnaim, b'muchzak v'lo b'ra'ui. So Gemara said there are two kinds of ra'ui. One ra'ui is nichse da'avua da'abo. Let's say Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So let's say, for argument's sake, let's say for argument's sake, Yitzchak Avinu dies before Avraham Avinu. That's not what happened. Let's say that each one is a multimillionaire. So Yitzchak dies before Avraham Avinu, and Yitzchak has two sons, Yaakov and Esav. Let's say for argument's sake, Yaakov is the Bchor, he gets Pishnaim, and Esav gets one Chelek. He gets Chelek HaPshitas. So Yitzchak will get two-thirds, Yaakov Avinu will get two-thirds, and Esav will get one-third. Now, what happens if Avraham Avinu dies after Yitzchak? That's what the Gemara calls Nichse de Avua de Abba. The grandfather dies after the father died. So that was Ra'ui. So that Yitzchak is only going to get one share, and Yaakov is going to get one chelek, and Esav is going to get one chelek. Yaakov doesn't get Pishnaim because that was Ra'ui. So that they all agree. Nichse de Avua de Abba. That's Ra'ui, and the Bchor doesn't get Pishnaim. But what if Yitzchak was a wealthy man and he lent out money to the sun, the moon, and the stars? He lent money to anybody who needed. And then Yitzchak Avinu dies, and Yaakov and Esav are sitting shiva, and all the people come and they pay back all the money. In the middle of shiva, they pay back all the money that they borrowed from their father. So what about a halvor that they owed the father the money while he was alive, but he didn't collect it until Achamisa? Is that considered ra'oi that Yaakov Avinu doesn't get Pishnaim? Is that considered muhsin? So that's a machlokes hatanoim. And we paskin like Rebbe, machlokes Rebbe Nachacham, we paskin like Rebbe, that's the beginning of Nesh Nachlin, that that's considered ro'i, it's not considered muhsik, the Bchor does not get Pishnaim. So the Rimigat, so Taisus says, Taisus in Bava Basra and Taisus in Bchoris, a long Taisus, so Taisus says, just like a halvo is considered ro'i, legabi Pishnaim of the Bchor, so too, a halvor that wasn't collected till after the wife dies is considered roi, that the husband doesn't get the Yerusha at all. A bal yerushas ish is only b'muchzak, not b'roi. And the Rimigash has a different gears in the Gemara in Bava Kama. In the middle of Bava Kama, the Gemara is talking about collecting koifer, lachamisa of the shor amud kills an odom, and then you collect the koifer. So the Rimigash has a gears in the Gemara that a halvoa, that the chiyuv existed during the lifetime of the wife, and then the wife dies, so the baal is, that's called muksuk, and the baal does get the Yerushim. Even though the Rabbi Pchor is considered roi, you have two different psukim there. So one pasuk tells him, nichse davua da abba, is roi, the Pchor doesn't get pishnaim. The other pasuk goes on a halvoa, he doesn't get pishnaim. It's a different kind of roi. But by the habal yerusha zishtoi, the only kind of ro'i that the Baal doesn't get is the moment that the wife had no shaykhas to at all. But if she had lent out a halvoa, then the Baal is yerush then. So it's not clear what the Rambam's opinion is. The Magen Mishnah thinks that the Rambam agrees with the Rimigash. So the Beis Shmuel writes in Eben Ezer that the Rimigash shita is a shita yichido. We absolutely don't paskin like that. And even if the husband is a muchzak, even if he was teifes, the mamen, he can't say kimli kishitas harimigash, because it's a shiti chido legamre. We don't accept it. And even if it were true that the Rambam, he says, we're not so kimli. Even if it were true what the Magen Mishnah says, that the Rambam agrees with the rimigash, that a baal does get halvoy, it's not called roi, the gabi habay yerushas ishtoi, it's still a shiti chido. The Rambam. The Rambam is called the shiti chido. He says, why? Because the Rambam was so taken by the Rimagash. The Rimagash was just the Rif lived in the Fez. That's why he's called Ben Iskar Fazi. And then there's some kind of an alila against him, so he had to run away to Spain at the age of 75. He started a new career, the age of 75 till the age of 90. For the last 15 years of his life, he taught Torah in Spain. So all the famous Talmidim of the Rif are from the second career, after the age of 75. I don't think we know any Talmidim that he had in Fez, in history, maybe. Maybe they're famous in Morocco, but they're not too famous for the future generations. So the Rimagash was a Talmud of the Rif, and the Rambam's father, when the Rambam was a young child, his father took him to meet the Rimagash, and he gave him a brocha that he should be matzliach in learning, and the Rambam attributed his success in learning to the brocha that he got from the Rimagash. So the Beis Shmuel writes in Eben Ezra, I think it's Siman Ayin, he says the Rambam's tendency would be, with his eyes closed, he's going to follow the Rimagash, whatever he says, unless, because the Rambam in one place writes, the Rimagash was a super genius, Sichlo Mavis Bechol HaTalmud, that's the lotion that he uses, can only happen on less than five places. Can only happen in a mistake on less than five places. He's a super genius. So he says, the Beis Shmuel says, the Rambam is automatically going to follow everything the Rima Gash with his eyes closed. So it doesn't count like two shittas. It's not an independent shita. It's just the Rima Gash is a shita yichido, even if the Rambam agrees, and the husband cannot even say, Kimli Kedasa Rima Gash Vaharambam. Usually you can say Kimli, this, the Achreinim have a whole idea. When you have a Sufik Mammon, so the din is whoever is Muchsuk wins. But what is a Sufik Mammon? So a guy has a right to say, I hold like the Meiri. Meiri has a different gears than the Gemara. So if it's a Shita Yechida, it's not a, if you have a significant minority opinion that 30% of the poskim hold like that, even though the majority don't agree, 70% don't agree, so then the one is muchzik can say, I hold like the 30%. But if it's 1%, you just have the Rima Gash and the Rambam. That doesn't count even as two shitas. That's not called an independent opinion. So the husband cannot tie the kimli. He cannot even say kimli, kishitas or Rima Gash. So that's a shaila. This the almana of Reb Shlomo Hyman, who married the Rabbi Unterman. So she had the money in a bank account. So she didn't have it in the safe deposit vault. It wasn't the pikudin in the bank. It was a halvoa. So that's the question. Halvoa is considered ro'oi. Maybe that's only bisman ha-gemara halvoa is considered ro'oi, because the guy may pay back and may not pay back until you ask the guy, pay me back the money. So he has to go home and go look for the money. Tell you, wait till next week, I'll get you the money. What if you have a bank account and the bank federally insured by the FDIC, federally insured. Let's say you have you lend money to the government. You have a bond. You have a government bond. So the government is not going to collapse. It's far-fetched. You're going to collect the money. It's a vado that you're going to collect the money. And even if the bank fails, it's federally insured. So maybe that's considered muhsab. That's machlekes in the Chuvas Nadi Behuda. So the shoyal in the Chuvas Nadi Behuda thought that the Gemara has one svara to the, where the halvoa is considered. It's a machlokes hatanaim yeshnach, machlokes rabbi and the rabbanon. Where the halvoa is considered roya muchzik ben geir to the bchor. So the Gemara says one opinion is that it depends whether you lent the money to a nochri or lent the money to a yisrael. If you're more positive that you're going to collect it back, then it's called muchzik. So which one is more positive? Which direction are you more positive? If the loiv is a Jew, the loiv is a nochri. So the two pshatim and the rishonim. So some rishonim say, he lent it to a Yisrael, so you're more positive, you're going to get it back. Lent it to a nochri, he may never get it back. So that's called roi. Other rishonim hold fakert. So the yosamech is, how can it be fakert? Because if a nochri borrows money, so b'dinei b'nei noyach, the din is that if he doesn't pay the money, you have a right to sell him as an eved, to collect the money. That's why it says in Sefer Melachim that Isha Achas Nishay Hanavim came to Elisha Hanavi and she says, my husband passed away. Isha Sovadya. Her husband passed away and he was a tzaddik and he had borrowed money to buy food for the Nevi'im who were hiding. Izebel was supporting the Nevi Habal and she wanted to kill all the Nevi Hashem. So her husband, Ovadia, was hiding out 100 Nevi Hashem, I think. So, and he borrowed money in order to get food to support the Nevi'im. So the Almana comes to Elisha and she says, my husband passed away and he owed money. And the Malvim, who lent my husband money, are going to take away my children as Avodim. So Tosis writes in Maseches Avodah Zarah, where do you ever hear such a din? That if a person owed money and he dies, so the mother has a right to take the children as avodim. So the Tosis writes in Maseches Avodah Zarah that Achav, the husband of Yizevel, Achav used to follow Dinei Bnei Noach, and the Dinei Bnei Noach, he didn't follow Dinei Atar. Dinei Bnei Noach, that's the din. That if you owe money you don't pay, they can sell you as an eved. By us we have a pasuk v'nimpka b'gnei vasoi. So the Michilta says v'nimpka b'gnei vasoi v'lo b'chovo. You only sell a person as an eved ivri. A Jewish person as an Eved Ivri, if he stole money, big neva, not even big zela, only big neva. And if he borrowed money, he never sold. The limit of being a boss of a lo bechovu. So you have no right to sell. So that's what the Ursa Mech explains. The Rishonim who had the pshat in the reverse direction. If you lent the money to a nochri, you're more positive that you're going to get the money back, because if he doesn't have money, if he's broke, you can sell him as an eved. But if he lent it to a Jew, he doesn't have the money to pay, so there's no such provision. You have no ability to sell him. Anyway, so the Gemara makes a distinction. Maybe we should distinguish who the loiva is. If you're more positive that you're going to collect the debt, then maybe it's called muchzik. So the Gemara rejects that. So that's a question. The Gemara rejects that, but maybe that's because still you're not so positive. But if the bank is federally insured, or you lent the money to the government, you have government bonds, so that you're more positive that you're going to collect it. You go to the bank, they'll pay you the money on the spot. They're not going to get hem and haw. They'll give you the money. You want to withdraw all the money in your savings account. They'll give you a check right away for the full amount. I don't think legally they're not obligated to give it. There's a limit how much. They're not mechayev to give you $100,000 in one day, but they probably will give you. Probably will. So that was the machlokes and the tshuvas Nadi Behuda. So the shoyl was of the opinion that even though the shoyl was a Talmid Chacham, even though the Gemara suggested maybe there's a difference whether the loiva is Jewish or nochri, the Gemara rejects it. The Gemara rejected that. But this, if the bank is federally insured, they lent the money to the government, a government bond, that you're positive you're going to get it back, that's called mukhsik. And Nadi Behuda has a short tshuva, just one paragraph. He doesn't think that it's correct. Usually the Nadi Behuda's tshuvas are much longer than one paragraph. He writes he doesn't think it's correct. He thinks that all halvos are considered ra'ui. So that's a question, how do we paskin? Just because the Nadi Behuda rejects it doesn't mean that we don't accept the shoyl. So I think the Aruch HaShulchan paskins like the shoyl, not like the Nadi Behuda. And they say the Rav Moshe Feinstein also held like that, especially here in New York. You can go 2 o'clock in the middle of the night to the bank with your card and you can take out the money. Can't take out the full $100,000. Yeah, there's a limit how much you can take out, but you can take out a lot of money on your own. You don't even have to have a teller there. So maybe today, that's what Rav Moshe thought. Rav Moshe was of the opinion, not only, let's say I put in $10,000 in the bank, and then I accumulated a lot of interest over the years. So Rav Moshe thought, not only the $10,000 that I put in, is that called muchzuk? Even the ribbis that I never had at all in the first place, even the ribbis, since when you go to the bank, they're going to give you the money right away with the ribbis, the keren with the ribbis. So even the ribbis is considered muchzuk. That was Rav Moshe's opinion. But others, I thought the Nadi Behuda was right. Others hold like the Nadi Behuda's psak, that everything is called roi, even the keren. Not only the ribbis is called roi, even the keren. It's a halvoa. So that was the din Torah that they had. So at that time, they told me that the Rabbanut has a nusach that you fill out and you give it during erusin. That the husband by zivik sheni, because the wife was only going to live a few years with the second husband. They're in their 80s or in their 70s, whatever. So she probably doesn't want her Yerusha to go to the husband. She wants to go to her relatives. So you have to get the husband to be mochel in between Eris and Isun. Anyway, that's the pasuk l'sheira. Nasatam is nachlosa l'sheira. That's the question. Do you say sheira is a wishto? And then you say goren masif and vidorshim. You read the pasuk as if it were written. There's no such midrash in the Dreshes Pem. Nesatim is nachla she'ero lo. Means one Tana holds he had a tradition that that's what it means. He had an oral tradition that that's what it means. Like I mentioned yesterday, the Balamor in Maseches Kiddushin has that comment. And Yeshem Lamasora, sometimes you have a tradition that you interpret the pasuk as if there were a word missing. Like we were speaking about the pasuk in Parshas Balak, it says Uksamim bi Adam. So the Balamor learns Pshat Uschar Ksamim bi Adam. The Pshuto Shel Mikra is understood. See if there's a word missing. Ani Tfilah v'chi Ani Shalom v'chi Adab Behem Alam Alchama. So he says Ani Ish Shalom. Ani Tfilah Ani Ish Tfilah. A lot of times you have a pasuk and you interpret it as if there's a word missing. They all said they had a tradition that that's what it means in the pasuk. Moshe Rabbeinu is told that he will not have the schus to cross over the Yarden, and he was told about all about Chalukas Haaretz. So he says, if I'm not going to cross over the Yarden, who's going to lead the Jewish people? So yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yivkar Hashem Elokei Aruch HaSish Al Ho'edo, the Baruch Shalom has to appoint somebody new. So he tells him he should appoint Yeshua Ben Nun, Samachta Siyotcha Olav, he should give him Smicha B'yad. She put one hand, and then the Pasuk of Yismachas Yodov Olav, he put both hands. So Zad Mershanim are bothered with the Kasha, why isn't this a violation of Bal Tosef? He was told to put one hand, then he puts both hands. So the Pashtus is, there's a Tosfos discusses, let's say a person eats more than a kazayis of matzah leil haseder. So you're going to say that that's bal tosef. A kazayis is the minimum. You're not yotze achila unless you eat a kazayis. But there's no maximum. Whatever you eat more than a kazayis is not a violation of bal tosef. A tosef says, strictly speaking, a sukkah, v'shtayim kelchosam ashlishis afila tefach. What if you have a sukkah that has four walls and you're a violation of bal tosef? No, it's understood. V'shtayim kelchosam ashlishis afila tefach is the minimum. It won't be kosher unless you have that. If you have four walls, it's avarigut. For sure it's a sukkah. So here also. So machtas yotcha means you need smicha biyad, at least one hand. If you put two hands, the pashta says that that's not. But the Balei HaTosfos on the Chumash, they work on this kasha. Why wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu in violation of Bal Tosef? Yeah. How long did the smicha biyad last? So the Gemara says it was only Haru Ashur. Only on this occasion, and Lidoris, the din is that you have smicha b'shem. It's just to appoint the person as a samach, you don't have to put your hand. The Rambam, when he quotes this in Hilchas Sanhedrin, has all the dinim of conferring smicha. So he says it wasn't just the Haru Ashur for Yehoshua ben Nun, all the smichas that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to the Shivim Zakenim were also smicha b'yad. That's an interesting chiddush. When you read the Gemara, you get the simple reading of the Gemara. It was only the smicha for Yeshua ben Nun. And Parshas Pinchas. So the Rambam says all the smichas of Moshe Rabbeinu were biyad, and Lidoris it's a din of smicha b'shem. Rav Herzog, the Maskilish history books, took issue with the Gemara. So they thought that the smicha was always biyad until the days of the Roman persecutions. When the Romans were killing the rabbis who wanted to confer smicha, so they started giving smicha b'shem. So Rabbi Herzog published the whole sefer on Sanhedrin, and it says on every page Shir Aleph. The whole sefer over 150 pages. This is all one shir. He must have given a shir for 25 hours. I don't know how can you give a shir for so long? Shir Aleph. So it's on Sanhedrin. I never read. I think my father had the sefer. I never read the sefer. So Moshe Feinstein read part of it at least, and he sent Rabbi Herzog a letter. I think it's the first letter Nigris Moshe Chelik Choshem Mishpat. So Rabbi Herzog adopted that position from the Maskilish history books that there was always smicha biyad until the days of the Roman persecution when they changed it. Now Moshe was very upset about that. So he wrote a very nasty letter to Rabbi Herzog. How can you say that? It's against the Gemara. We used to have a Rebbe here in Yeshiva, Rabbi Nissen Alpert. He was very close with Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. He says, Rabbi Moshe toned down the letter when he printed it. But when you read it, it's a very strong letter. He was very upset why he adopted such a position. It's against the Gemara. He must have a favorish not so. Then it says that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he confers the smicha to Yeshua ben Nun, the tziviso oso li'einehem, he should confer the smicha, the tziviso oso on Torah Shabbal Peh. He should transmit the koyach ha-psak of Torah Shabbal Peh in the presence of Elozer HaKohen lefnei kol ha'edo. The tziviso oso li'einehem, you have to give the smicha in public. So this Shvi'i Yesh has an essay on this topic. It's not a tshuva, he has an essay on the topic. And he writes about the fact that when Rabbi Meir Shapiro was the rabbi in Lublin, and he founded the yeshiva in Lublin, and then when they conferred smicha, so they made a big chagas smicha. People think that why you invented the chagas smicha. It was in Europe, and they wrote about it in all the newspapers. And Rabbi Meir Berlin, Rabbi Meir Shapiro called it the chagas smicha. Strictly speaking, the word chag, the Gemara says the word chag only applies to a holiday when you bring a korban chagiga. So no one's bringing any korban chagiga by the chag asmicha, but we call it chag purim, We call Chanukah Chag Ha'urim, the holiday of lights. So we use the word Chag as a celebration, as a holiday. So they called it the Chag HaSmicha. So this Sfidi Yesh has an essay where he writes, that's the way you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to confer smicha in public. And he says, you're not supposed to give private smicha and keep it a secret. It's supposed to be in public. And he says, the Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava wanted to confer smicha. If you don't confer smicha, you won't be able to be done dini knosis. You have to have smicha to be called Elohim. You kabal b'asel to Elohim. You have to have smicha. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava was moisa nefesh, because the Romans had announced, whoever will confer smicha, we're going to kill. And if he gives smicha inside a city, we're going to kill all the people in the city. So the Gemara says in the story, in the first Perek in Sanhedrin, that he wanted to give smicha to 5 Talmidim of his, prominent Tanoim, famous names, and he didn't want anybody else to lose their lives. So he gave the smicha in between 2 different cities. It was a hefker area, and he gave it in public. And the Romans, he was an old man, and the Romans killed him. And the other Talmidim ran away. So the Sfidi Yesh asked the question, why don't you give a private smicha? Nobody, a lot of people. Half the people in a lot of shuls in New Jersey, in Teaneck. Half the people in shul have smicha. Nobody knows whether they have smicha or not. Why don't you give the private smicha? See, no, the din requires smicha has to be given in public. In fact, there's an interesting comment that the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayis in Bechoris on Daf Chof Tes, I think it is, where the Mishnah mentions a little bit about smicha. So the Rambam gives you in the Pirush HaMishnayis a little bit about the laws and rules and regulations of smicha. So he says, he quotes the Gemara, smicha can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael. Has beish mi piish ad Moshe Rabbeinu, and you can't confer smicha in Chutzlor. So today, it says in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramon Yerodeh quotes the Abarbanel. I think they say that's the only place where the Abarbanel got into Shulchan Aruch. The Ramon Hilchas Hayrasi Sebeheta and Hilchas Kovet Talmid Chachamim in the third Chelik Yerodeh. Ramon quotes the Abarbanel that the smicha that we have today is only imitation smicha, and it's in order to satisfy the Takana de Rabbanan, the Talmud al Yoreh, and Kenotol Rishus Me Rabban. No one's allowed to paskin unless he has Heter Hayroa. That's why in Yiddish a lot of people don't call it smicha, because strictly speaking it's not really smicha. You can't give smicha in chutzlots. Nobody today have smicha, so it's not going to be ish mipish Moshe Rabbeinu. It's but the correct name should really be Heter Hayroa, because Rebbe made a takon, Rabbi Yudan Nas made a takon, Talmud al Yaron came not to reshus me rabbi. So the Rambam writes, why is there such a din that smicha can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael? It has to do with agriculture. The agricultural mitzvahs only apply in Eretz Yisrael. Only the farmers who till the fields, they're the ones who get smicha. Usually they're the ones who don't know how to learn. There are farmers who are learned, but most of the farmers are not into learning. So why is it only in Eretz Yisrael? So the Rambam explains in the Pirush HaMishnayis, because the smicha is not a private thing. That I have smicha, I want to confer smicha to my Talmud. The Rebbe confers smicha is representing all of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is only the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. The Jews who live in Chutz Lorenz are considered Giyachidim. So the Avdei Nezer has the first 2 Tshuvas and the second Chelek Arachayim are on Hilchas Rosh Chodesh. So he quotes the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, writes that Kiddush HaChodesh can only be done in Eretz Yisrael because the Beis Din does the Kiddush HaChodesh, doesn't do it on their own. They do Kiddush HaChodesh as representing all of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is only the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. So the Avnei Nezer puts together this Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis and Bcheres and Daf Chav Tes with the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs regarding Kiddush HaChodesh b'chutz l'aretz. And this is probably what led the Rambam to his Chiddush. The Rambam has it in 3 different places. He has it in Pirush HaMishnayis and Mishnah Torah. That if you come to a generation where nobody has any smicha, now nobody has any smicha, so how are we going to renew the smicha? It has to be Yish Mipiyish Ab Moshe Rabbeinu. So you have to wait till Eliyahu HaNavi comes. Eliyahu HaNavi got smicha and he never died, so he's going to give smicha. The Rambam holds, in order to convert smicha, you have to have 3 people. But the 3 people don't all have to be smuchim. One of them has to have smicha, the other 2 can be balabatim. So how can they give smicha if they don't have smicha? So the answer is, they don't even have to speak to the candidate in learning. The Gemara says, somebody sends a letter that Pliny is a very big Talmid Chacham, he deserves smicha, and if he's reliable, so you can put together a bezna of 3. So you need one of them has to have smicha, otherwise it's not going to be Yish Mipiyish Ad Moshe Rabbeinu. The other 2 don't have to have smicha. They don't have to be learned. They have to be religious balabatim. You have a bezin. The bezin conferred smicha. Bezin represents kolis, and they confer the smicha. So the Rambam writes, so what do we have to? We have to wait till Eliyahu Hanavi comes and put together another two balabatim. He'll start giving smicha. But the Gemara says Eliyahu Hanavi will come. The pasuk says in the end of Malachi, "Hina nechu shalech lechem eseli Hanavi lefnei bayom Hashem agor ba'anavi." So the Gemara Erevin understands the pasuk to mean Eliyahu Hanavi is going to come the day before the Melech HaMashiach. He will identify who the Melech HaMashiach is. He'll say tomorrow the Mashiach will appear. So the Gemara says, where is Eliyahu Hanavi going to come? The Gemara says, he's going to come to the Sanhedrin. Where is the Sanhedrin going to be? Where are they going to meet? So the Gemara says, Sanhedrin will continue in the same location where they were the last time they met. Let's say you have a Sanhedrin, and then they go home, they go to sleep. Then they come back the next morning, and they reconvene. Then they go home the next night, they go to sleep. They go eat supper at home with their wives and their children. Then they come back every day, they come back. There has been a hafsaka of 2,000 years. We haven't had a Sanhedrin meeting. So whenever the Sanhedrin will meet, Rabbi Steinsaltz, with a group of rabbis gathered together in Tveria. Why they gathered together in Tveria? Because the Rambam quotes the Gemara in the end of Rosh Hashanah, Esse Golius, Golsa Sanhedrin. When the Sanhedrin went into self-imposed Golus 40 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni, Churban Bayis Sheni was the year 70, so in the year 30, they felt it's not right that they were sitting in the Lishkas HaGozes, and they're not maintaining law and order. There were a lot of murderers, and they weren't taking care. They weren't putting the murderers to death. So they felt it's not right that they sit in the office and they don't live up to their obligations. So they went into self-imposed exile. So they left the Lishkas HaGozes, and then they went from one city to the other, to the other, to the other. And the last few cities were all in Galil, Shfaram, Usha, Tveria, Tzipori, all that area. And then the Gemara says, and the Rambam quotes that from the Gemara in the end of Rosh Hashanah, wherever they met last, that's where they're going to reconvene when the Sanhedrin will reconvene. So that's what Rabbi Steinsaltz, he gathered together a group of 71 people, and they reconvened, yeah. So the Rambam, so Eliyahu Hanavi is going to appear to the Sanhedrin. But if nobody has any smicha b'zman hazeh, so how can there be any Sanhedrin? So how's the whole story going to get off the ground? So the Rambam says, Yeroi Ali, he has in three different places, in the Pirush HaMishnah is two places, in the Mishnah Torah, and Hilchos Sanhedrin. He thinks that if all the Chachmei Eretz is all gathered together, they can confer smicha mechadosh. Why? So he feels that the smicha is really rooted in Klal Yisrael. If Yerush Mepish HaMoshe Rabbeinu, then you have a right to represent Klal Yisrael, even though you're not gathering together all of Chachmei HaTorah. But if nobody is Yerush Mepish HaMoshe Rabbeinu, so if all the Talmid HaChacham gathered together, they will represent the Klal Yisrael, they can start the smicha. They can start a mechodesh. So that's during the lifetime of Rabbi Yosef Karo, they renewed the smicha in Tzfat. But they didn't invite all of the Rabbonim in Eretz Yisrael, they only invited all the Rabbonim from Tzfat. So Rabbi Levi ibn Chabiv wrote a whole kuntras asmicha. He lived in Yerushalayim, so he said, you didn't invite us. So even according to the Rambam, your smicha is phony baloney, because the Rambam only has the Rambam is not sure whether he can do chiddush asmicha. Even if he can, but the Rambam said only if he gathered together all the Chachmei Yisrael. Aye, but the majority of the Talmid Chacham lived in Tzfat, they have the Raif. So Rabbi Levi ibn Chabiv says, the Rav is good if you would have everybody all together, and the Rav would say, give smicha to Rabbi Yosef Karo. And the Miut would say, don't give smicha, so you would go bust a Rav. But if you didn't even have the Miut, so you can't say you go bust a Rav. You didn't even invite us. Let's say, Arbe Kaisis, you have to drink Rav Kais. You have to have a Ravias of wine, then you drink a Rav Kais. But if you only have a Rav Kais? But if you only have a Rav Kais? So that's no good. You have to have the whole Kais. You have a whole Kais, and then you drink a Rav Kais. So that was a big issue, whether there's such a thing as chiddush hasmicha. Then, of course, Parshas Pinchas is more famous for the Musafim. We said you have three parshas that have about the Moadim. You have Emor and Pinchas and Re'ei. So Pinchas is known as all the korbanos haMusafim. Yeah, you have to bring on Shabbos and Yom Tov and Rosh Chodesh. Our practice is when it's Rosh Chodesh or Chalias B'Shabbos, so we lay in the two parshiyos, two paragraphs that are next to each other. L'yoyim HaShabbos and Rosh HaChadshechem. L'yoyim HaShabbos is Pasuk Tes in Yud. Rosh HaChadshechem is Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, Tes Vav. So we lay in the two psukim and the five psukim. And Rosh Chodesh Chol is B'Shabbos. The Rashash points out on the Gemara Megillah, it's B'Feirish, that just like on a regular Shchodesh Chaliyas Bechol, they learn Sabbath B'nez Amatam Skarboni Lach Melisha, they learn that, and we are Shabbos and Rosh HaChadshechem. So the Gemara in the Megillah is B'Feirish, that Rosh Chodesh Chaliyas B'Shabbos also. They learned all of this. Even though they already gave seven Aliyas before, he used to learn from the beginning. He doesn't understand why it changed. Why Bizmana Gemara, they started from Sabbath B'nez Amatam from the Korban Tomid. And Mizmana says, we don't do that. He doesn't understand why we don't do that. The Pasuk twice uses the expression in the Korbanos, in the middle of the Korbanos, says, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. So it says it by Yom Kippur, whoever eats Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh is Chayiv Kares. So the Gemara understands Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh means on Yom Kippur proper, you're Chayiv Kares, but if you eat during the Zman of Tosefes, then you're not Chayiv Kares. You're supposed to have Tosefes Yom Kippurim, but there's no Chayiv Kares on that. And then the same expression, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh Mikra Kodesh, appears by Shavuos. So that's what Rav Shlomo Levilna and the Netziv, who were contemporaries. Shlomo Levilna was a dayan of Vilna in the late 1800s when they were printing the Vilna Shas. He was the Magia on the Vilna Shas. And the Netziv lived at that time also. So they both came up with this Einfall, that there's a concept of Tosefes on Shavuos, but you can only say Kiddush, the Etzam HaMasad Kras and Mikra Kiddush. To recite Kiddush on Shavuos has to be on Shavuos proper, not during this Zman of Tosefes. So that's why there's a minig. People always assume that it was a minig that began in the Middle Ages, that you don't either you don't daven Ma'ariv the first night of Shavuos till Tzeisah Kochavim, or you don't say Kiddush at home till Tzeisah Kochavim. So the Shulchan Aruch, the official reason they give a Shulchan Aruch is because of Tmimos. So they all ask. The Gemara doesn't say Tmimus goes, you have to have a full 49 days before Shavuos begins. Why can't you have Tosefes? So they said, you can have Tosefes. But it says, Krosem Mikra Kodesh Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. The reciting of the Kiddush has to be on the Etzem Hayom Hazeh. Nunu. What's the connection between the Haftorah and the Parsha? So the simple pshat is that Pinchas was a kanoi, and Eliyahu Navi was also a kanoi. Kano kinesi. The pasuk says the same expression. Kanos kinasi b'soicham. The chalis is b'nei sol b'kinasi. And then Eliyahu Navi says kano kinesi l'Hashem alakei Yisrael. And the Gemara has different opinions. Who was Eliyahu Navi? It doesn't say what shevet he belonged to. So every shevet claimed he was a mysterious figure. So every Shevet claimed that he came from us. So the most popular opinion is that Pinchas Eliyahu, that Pinchas never died. Pinchas is Eliyahu Navi, and he went up in a fiery chariot up to heaven, and he never died. And that's what that's how they interpret the pasuk. That he will always be a kohen. Rizkun Asolam, he will be forever a kohen. Because he never died. All the other Kohanim who died, so the Gemara in the first Perek in Yuma says, after Tchias HaMesim, they'll come back to life, they'll have to renew their Chinuch as a Kohen. The Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvos writes like that, but it's a Beferish Gemara in Yuma in the first Perek. After Tchias HaMesim, the Kohanim, if they want to be able to function as Kohanim, will have to go through the whole ceremony of putting on Big De Kuna to become endowed with Kedushas Kuna. And Pinchas has bris kun asolam. He's a kohen forever because he never died. He never died. Tosis is bothered with Akasha. How can that be the generally accepted opinion? You usually assume Pinchas Eliyahu. If Pinchas was a kohen, he's not allowed to be metame lemeisim. And the story in Tanakh says that when Ben Hoisha Shunam has died, so Eliyahu Navi gave him the resuscitation. He breathed into his mouth. He was metapa with the mace. That was Elisha. So what? Eliyahu Navi was Machiah, different baby.
Yeah,
I already forgot. That was Elisha. Yeah. So the Navi was mechayev different mace. So Tosfos says, how is he allowed to be metamei lemeis if he's Pinchas Eliyo? So Tosfos says, Pikuach nefesh is decha kol haTorah kula. So since it was vaday lo, he knew for sure that he was going to bring him back to life, so that's why it was permissible. So the Mefarshim discuss, that's a little Tosfos in the end of Bava Metzia, on top of an Amud Beis. So they discuss, why does it have to be vaday? So the Netziv has a whole fantastic, the Netziv in his commentary on the Shiltas has a whole fantastic chiddush hasadot tzvei dinim. There's one din if a person is alive, he want to continue his life, that even a suffik pikuach nefesh is also derech kol tarkul. But if a person is dead already, that's not called tchias hameisim. Tchias hameisim is not called pikuach nefesh. Pikuach nefesh is that the person is alive. So what right do you have to be metame lemeis to bring him back to life? That's a din of chatei b'shul sheyiska chavercha. So that's only mutter if it's a vadai. That's how the Gemara says. Chatei b'shul sheyiska chavercha. Chatei b'shul sheyiska chavercha. Aver l'shmo is only mutter if it's a vadai. If it's a suffix, that's only mutter if the person is alive now. And it's a suffix, he may die, you want to retain his life. That's a din of bikoch nefesh. This is a din of chatei b'shul sheyiska. That's a pshetl. So usually they say that that's not pshat and tesis. That let's say it's Shabbos afternoon and someone is dead. Someone died in the hospital. And I think if I'll turn on the lights here, there's a chance that maybe the choyle will have a tchias hameisim. Mehecha tesa. What has it got to do? You have a dead body and someone's going to, dead body, he's dead for an hour or two. I'm going to lean on the body and I'm going to start to do resuscitation or something. But he's dead. Dead is dead. There isn't even a suffix going to come back to life. So if it's vaday, if you know benevuah, if you have Ruach HaKodesh, if it's vaday, you're going to come back to life, then you can discuss. Either it's bikoch nefesh, or you can say it's chatei b'shul sheyiska chavercha. But if it's only a suffix, so then it's not even a suffix. A suffix, maybe I'll bring a dead person back to life. That's ridiculous. But if a person is alive and there's a slim chance that by doing some procedure, he's very, very sick. So there's a slim chance if I'll drive him to the hospital, they may be able to save his life. Okay, so then there's a slim chance. But on a dead body, it's not even a suffix unless it's a vaday. Okay, Tov. Tomorrow, what are we doing? Parshat V'chukaisai, I think. Parshat Sashavua. A little out of order. Okay.
The latter way to explain the pikuach nefesh thing, and that basically what the Chatam Sofer says, and the long tishuv about a kohen being metame to a corpse to make sure that it's dead.
Yeah.
Isn't that basically what he says? That you want to make sure that he's dead. You don't want to save him. It's a bad, you have such a suffix, such like a small suffix, that he's not even alive anymore. You just want to double check that. You're not even, there's no pikuach nefesh there.
Yeah. One chance out of a million. It's not called a suffix. That's constant flush.
Right.
So far-fetched.
Only when it's a vaday that you're gonna bring him back to life, then you can be metame in such a case. That he says.
Yeah.
I think that's also basically what he's saying over there. Not like the Netziv. Rabbi says it's two dinim from the Netziv. Chatev shetiske or pikuach nefesh. So I think he has a couple of lines like that in Shalamitah. Not long chatam sofer.
He also talks about that place in the end of Bava Metzia.
No, but he has the same idea to say why the Maharas Chayud is wrong.
I thought that some says that because such a topic, that's ridiculous.
Right. Isn't that the second way the Rebbe is saying?
No, the Netziv is saying it.
Not the Netziv, but Rebbe is saying the Pashtus is.
Yeah.
Yeah.